Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. I am the host of Balanced Life, and I'm happy to have Dawn Cotillo on today. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Great. Thank you. And thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thank you. For those who have not heard Dawn yet on Balanced Life, she's terrific. You're going to learn so much today. But she's a natural hormone therapy practitioner, speaker, TV personality, and author of The Hormone Shift. So we are glad to speak with her today because we have a really great topic. And that topic is the effect on caffeine and the effect that it has on your hormones. So this is going to be a very interesting subject because I bet a lot of people don't want to give up their caffeine.
Right. It's hard. But we're just going to talk about moderation and everything. We don't want to scare anybody. But let's get into some facts, and then people can decide for themselves what they want to do, right?
Sure. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit. So how long does caffeine stay in your body?
Well, you know, that's interesting. A lot of people think that they're not affected by caffeine, but really a lot of people are. Every once in a while there's people that can drink coffee and then fall right asleep. But there's new research saying, okay, you're falling asleep, but are you waking up in the middle of the night? Are you going into a deep sleep? So even those who think it doesn't affect them, but it actually can stay in the body for like 7 hours.
Oh.
So let's say this. This is good news. If you drink it in the morning, probably not going to affect your sleep at night. So if you have one or two cups in the morning, which is really what I advocate, just keeping it in the morning, probably not going to be an issue. But a lot of times people will have a lull in the afternoon and they'll go for a pick-me-up with coffee or early evening. They'll stop by a place that right on the road that they can get coffee, and that's when it could really start to affect sleep. So don't think it's just in and out in an hour. It can stay up to 7 hours in the body.
Wow, and I think it's not even just coffee. It's iced tea or chocolate,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, hot chocolate has caffeine in it too, but like tea has a little bit left, but then coffee. And you know what's interesting? This is so funny because my personality, if people know me, they're like, yeah, we don't want you drinking caffeine, but I am very, very sensitive. And people don't realize that decaffeinated coffee still has a certain percentage. And I am the ultimate litmus test for that, because if I have a decaf coffee, because I do like the smell of coffee and the taste of it, and put my natural sweetener stevia and my little coconut milk in it or whatever, if I have that at night, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, it will keep me awake even with that little bit. So for those that are super sensitive, they have to realize that even decaf coffee has a certain amount of caffeine in it. And, statistic-wise, is almost about 55% of Americans drink coffee, which I was a little surprised because I thought it was actually higher than that. But the amount that they're drinking, the average American, is like drinking 3 cups of 9, and it's not even cups, it's about 9 ounces, it's a little more, a day. So $40 billion a year is spent on coffee. So it's a big, big industry. But I was surprised it was only 54%. I actually thought more. I think a lot of people now will do tea, black tea, or they'll do some of those energy drinks, which are really, really,
really
bad for blood sugar, which we'll talk about. So, yes, there's other things that stimulate. And even sugar and chocolate have stimulatory effects in them as well. But we're focusing on the caffeine today.
Dawn, I can't see you drinking coffee. I don't think you need it. You're bubbly as it is. You don't need that.
It's illegal for me to have coffee in certain states, and Pennsylvania is one of them.
We banned you.
I'll leave it at that. I shouldn't be having coffee.
We'll ban you for that. But with all the Starbucks and the Wawa and the Dunkin' Donuts lines, like I really would have thought that statistic would have been much higher.
So I'm surprised. But I think that there's so many more things now, so many different energy drinks, and I don't want to name any brands, but especially, I will just put this note in for parents, those energy drinks for teenagers are very, very, very bad, because teenagers are just developing, their brains are developing, their hormones are raging at different points. It will make them more moody, more angry, more irritable. So you do not want to just say to your teenager, oh, drink one of those drinks instead of soda. Soda isn't good, but those energy drinks have sugar, and then they also have effects, which we're going to get into today, but they're magnified with teenagers. So that's something, if parents are listening, you really want. I mean, I hate to say it, but I'd rather them have a regular soda. That's actually mild compared to some of these, and you guys know the names, I'm sure, that I'm talking about. They're out in the stores. They're really, really bad for teens. I think teens do it, and people in their 20s in college, more than adults, I would say, for that.
Yeah, I would think that would be so bad for the teenagers. And plus, you crash once you come off that sugar and that caffeine. I would think they even crash harder than the adults do.
That's what I'm saying. And there's, I knew a boy that I was working with for a while that actually, with his hormones, but he was having problems with anger issues. And of course, there's always emotional issues when you have problems with anger, but it was tipped off when he would have these drinks. So that's something to real. I mean, if you're having problems with your teens, I mean, the one thing you want to do is make sure that they don't drink those. And like I said, I'd rather them have a soda every once in a while than have these energy drinks.
Right, so, and plus the addiction rate.
What was that?
Plus the addiction rate for teenagers. They are more prone to addiction for that type of thing, too. So, yeah, so what's our next topic here with caffeine?
Well, I think that what I would like to explain, and I won't get too complicated with it, what caffeine does, what it does to our blood sugar. People know that when their blood sugar gets low, you know, they don't feel as good. You're kind of irritable and you're kind of hungry and you're kind of moody. So people know that. But what we forget is the principle of what goes up must come down. Well, caffeine causes something called reactive hypoglycemia. And that means that blood sugar goes up like a roller coaster when you have the caffeine, but then it crashes down like a roller coaster. So it's a spike in blood sugar, then followed by a crash in blood sugar. And this leaves us tired, irritable, craving, and usually we will want more caffeine at that point, or like I said, another diet soda or another, you know, specialty drink or a snack to lift our spirits. If not, we're going to be in the doldrums. So it's starting us on this roller coaster ride throughout the day, and it can be kind of a vicious cycle. So that's why I want people to understand that there's other alternatives. There's other things we can do. A little bit of coffee in the morning or caffeine in the morning actually will not cause reactive hypoglycemia even in the morning if you do it with a fat or a protein.
Okay.
Right? So how many people do you know that just drink coffee in the morning and that's all they drink, right?
True.
Get up and they'll have their coffee. So if you have, let's say, eggs in the morning, maybe a little cheese on or eggs made in a little bit of butter or a little bit of olive oil, that fat and that protein will stabilize the blood sugar so that you don't have to worry about the caffeine causing a rise and fall. But if you wake up rushing around with the kids doing stuff and just have the coffee, that's worse than not having anything at all because it messes with your blood sugar. It was bad enough you didn't eat breakfast, but then you have the stimulant that's going to cause a roller coaster ride. It actually makes it worse. Does that make sense?
That does. That does make sense. That's a really great tip.
Yeah, and it's a good tip to just make sure, no, just to have breakfast. But let's say you're busy, you don't have time, you know, for breakfast. Maybe you just grab some nuts on the way to the office or a tablespoon of, like, peanut butter or nut butter. Just kind of do that while you're, and then do that and then sip on your coffee on the way to work. Because anything that mainly think of fat, but fat and protein will help stabilize blood sugar. Now, there's something, I wasn't even planning on talking about this today, but I'll mention it, that you can, like, look up. People can look it up. It's called bulletproof coffee. And what it is let's say people are like, I'm never going to eat breakfast. I eat lunch at 11 or 12. I'm never going to eat breakfast. I love my coffee. Don't try to talk me out of it. There's a man that came up with this, and you don't have to follow his exact principles, but it's called Bulletproof Coffee. And what he did was he added coconut oil to coffee. You can add a little sweetener. I like stevia because it's an herbal sweetener. You can add a little sweetener, but you add a coconut oil, or it was called an MCT oil. It'll say it on the when you Google it. And then you add, sounds crazy, but a little bit of organic grass-fed butter, and you blend it all together. And it tastes, I can't even tell you, because coffee is, of course, good, but it tastes like a buttery coffee. It tastes really good, especially if you make it sweet. What that does is it gives you essential fatty acids that are good for you, not so much protein, but fatty acids that keep your blood sugar stable up until lunchtime. So you are okay just to have coffee for breakfast if you're going to go that routine. Mm-hmm. So I tell people they can just Google it, Bulletproof Coffee. It's a way there's so many variations on it, but it's adding higher levels of fat, healthy fat, to the coffee so that you don't have the reactive hypoglycemia.
Who knew? That's really tricky. I like that.
And believe me, if I didn't taste it, I'd be like, okay, that's weird. It actually really tastes good. One of our Harrisburg franchise that started of our Be Balanced Center, they were serving it to clients, and the clients were just, this is great, because after we balance people's hormones, we try to keep them have a stay balance. And caffeine, just like alcohol and sugar, are all things that can throw your hormones out of whack, and we just want to watch that. So it's actually really delicious to drink.
Yeah,
so.
That sounds really great. We'll have to give that a try. That sounds really good.
And maybe it's good that I say this, you know, how does caffeine affect a woman's hormones? Like, because obviously I'm a hormone expert. That's what I talk about. Why would I want to explain caffeine? Well, it's because caffeine is a form of stress. It's a stressor to the body. Just like if someone's yelling at you, that stresses you. Well, caffeine stresses the body. And remember, we talked about in the past that when you're under stress, your stress hormone cortisol rises. Well, if this is every morning because you're drinking coffee or because we have a life that's stressful, the demand is so high that our bodies can't keep up with it, so it has to convert our sex hormone called progesterone. It has to convert that for the body to keep making cortisol to keep up with the demand. then that causes us to be low in progesterone. And I don't know if you remember from before, but progesterone is the hormone that women do not want to be low in, because progesterone is soothing to the mood. It helps you go into a deep sleep. It helps you burn fat and lose weight. It helps protect female from female-related cancers. It keeps your cycle, you know, steady without symptoms. It helps all PMS and menopausal symptoms. So we can make a case that caffeine in and of itself will actually throw off a woman's hormonal balance.
Wow. Wow. I know for me, it throws off balances. It gives me migraines, like if I drink too much. So it's amazing how it's all interconnected in your body and how it can affect so many different areas.
Yeah, because think about it. It's like you have enough stress in your life, you know, kids and a husband, a job, then to be drinking stress. Think of it as stress in a cup. I mean, that's really what it is. You know, and there's been a lot of things for women specifically that women that have fibrocystic breasts, they'll say, I don't want you to do any chocolate or any coffee. It's that exact reason. It's indirectly happening because the caffeine, it causes the imbalance in progesterone and estrogen that will allow a woman to get the fibrocystic breast, and that's why they're saying don't do it. But what people don't realize is fibrocystic breast is one step, I shouldn't say one step away, but it's going in the direction of breast cancer, and we don't want that. So a lot of women, they just cut back on their caffeine, they'll notice their breasts aren't as lumpy and they don't have the cyst in there, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's very important. And I do want to come back and discuss this a little bit further with you, Dawn. Dawn Cotillo is with Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Centers. And how can our audience get in touch with you, Dawn?
Well, they can just go to our BeBalanceCenters.com. We have a one-minute survey to see if they have a hormone imbalance. And then they can email us through the website any hormone questions they have at all.
Okay, that's great. Come back on our next segment, and Dawn Cotillo will still be with us from BeBalanceCenters.com. Thank you. In my heart, be the way in the Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and we are back with Dawn Cotillo, a Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Centers franchise and author of The Hormone Shift. Okay, Dawn, we're really getting into how caffeine affects our bodies and our hormones. So how about some caffeine alternatives? How about solutions for our audience?
Yeah, and you know what I thought of on the break? I thought, let me start off with this. We'll get into substitutions in a minute, but just in case we haven't convinced people enough, people, because we talked about how caffeine causes reactive hypoglycemia, so you don't feel as good with your mood, it makes you irritable, it makes you crave, but there is a direct connection between caffeine and weight gain. So I thought that's worth mentioning quickly, because if I didn't get you with the other stuff, you know, we're all having problems with our weight, it's summer's coming, we want to lose weight. What caffeine does simply is we talked about it being a stress to the body. Just like if your boss is yelling at you, that's a stress. Well, caffeine's like drinking. It's like drinking stress when you're drinking caffeine. What happens is it can cause fluctuations in our blood sugar and our insulin. And it can cause an insulin resistance over time. Now, have you heard of insulin resistance?
No, I have not. That's interesting.
Okay, so it's a term that doctors use. It's like, almost like a pre-diabetic state.
Oh.
So when you're insulin resistant, it means your insulin isn't working as well, and eventually it could lead to diabetes. But in the meantime, when you're insulin resistant, your body stores fat easier. We don't need something to make us store fat easier. We have enough problems with that, right?
That's not good.
So that's what coffee does. It will actually cause that. Now, again, if you did what we said initially and put some of the oils in it, it balances the blood sugar. But just drinking coffee throughout the day is going to stimulate your appetite, and it's going to stimulate fat storage. So that's definitely, I just thought of that over the break. I thought, you know what, that's worth mentioning because people are always trying to work on their weight.
That's true. I never thought that. I've seen it more as a diuretic than I did a weight gain. But okay.
And in a sense, it is, but it actually stimulates and throws off the thyroid gland and the adrenal gland, which are two major glands in the body that affect your overall health but also affect your weight. So in a sense, it's a diuretic, but it also then causes the body to be dehydrated, and that's a stressful state as well.
Oh,
so there's many benefits to lowering your caffeine, and one is just you'll have more energy, you'll have a better mood, you'll take stress off the major glands of the body. for a woman, you'll balance your estrogen progesterone levels, which will help with your mood, weight, and sleep, as well as fibrocystic breast or the chance of breast cancer. And you'll have less cravings, and you won't store fat as easily. So there's some major benefits before we start talking about substitutions.
Yeah, there really are. Oh, my goodness. And that all makes sense. That's wow. It's a bit of an eye-opener, but yet it makes sense. So
yes, because good. I don't think they drank as much coffee as they did back in the olden days. We just drink so much more. In our sedentary, stressful society, it sets us up. If you're a farmer, you can't have a coffee mug hooked to your body when you're out there working. Whereas if we sit at a desk all day, it's easy to be sipping coffee. So I think our modern society makes it easy to abuse caffeine.
Absolutely. I was in line at a coffee shop the other day, and someone asked for 4 additional shots of espresso. So I'm like, oh my word,
I think they build, I'm very sensitive, like we said in the last segment, but people do build a tolerance to it. But like I said, it's still affecting their body and it's still not good.
Absolutely.
So let's talk quickly. I'll just make this quickly because I know that tea is not a substitute for coffee. So I want to get into here with a couple of robust coffee substitutes that I think people will like. But I will say this quickly, just to give an idea, white tea is delicious. And it has different, blueberry or raspberry, and there's no caffeine in it. There's also a more robust tea called red tea, rooibos tea. It's from Africa. And it comes in like vanilla or caramel flavored. It's loose sometimes. It's in tea bags. Actually, regular grocery stores carry in tea bags. And that has no caffeine. And it's really good if you put some cream in it, or we're going to talk about stevia in a minute. So that, now green tea is very healthy, antioxidants, but has a little bit of caffeine. So at least it's like, if you say, well, I'm going to not drink as much coffee, but maybe in the afternoon I need a lift, I'll do some green tea. And I think people know that green tea is better for you. Mm-hmm. Then black tea, of course, has the most caffeine. So that's kind of just the rundown on teas. And don't be scared to try a white or red tea because they're delicious.
Okay, that's a good alternative.
Yeah, so there's some things. Now, the only other tea I'm going to mention, because it has a little bit more and it's a little heavier of a tea, is something called yerba mate tea. It's Y-E-R-B-A, yerba mate, M-A-T-T-E. It looks like yerba mate tea, but it's called yerba mate. Actually, it's a South American tea. It actually comes already sweetened with stevia, which we're going to talk about in a minute, which is a natural herbal sweetener, so it's naturally sweet. But here's what it does. It increases energy and mental alertness and actually will, just in small amounts, will actually reduce appetite a little bit. And it doesn't cause harm to our friendly bacteria, and it has 196 active compounds. So you can drink it hot, you can drink it cold, you can put lemon, you can do it with stevia, but it's called yerba mate tea. And that's found, Amazon or online, you can easily find it. But I have several clients that actually really like that, like a little sip of that in the afternoon. Give them a lift, but it's going to be a little bit healthier.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, so that's a good one. Then the other alternatives, I have two that I love, 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 because, of course, we talked about me never having coffee, but two that I love is something called Dandy, D-A-N-D-Y, Blend. Dandy Blend, they call it a tea. It's not a tea. It's a brown powder, Dandy Blend, and you could Google it. You'll find it anywhere. It's actually an herbal beverage that's water-soluble. There's no acidity, no bitterness. It's gluten-free. It's only 7 calories a teaspoon. It's roasted barley, chicory root, dandelion root, and sugar beet root. It actually has a full-bodied, more of a coffee taste. And, again, it's not bitter. There's no additives or pesticides to it. The sweetness comes from the fructose or a fruit sugar that naturally occurs when you roast the dandelion. It really is good for cleansing the liver, which most people are always trying to do cleanses. But I like it because it's robust, like coffee. Because remember I said, people don't want to switch from a robust coffee to a light tea. It's delicious. You can add a little bit of coconut milk creamer. You can add regular creamer, too. But coconut milk creamer or almond milk creamer are two of my favorites because they come in vanilla, hazelnut, plain. And if you have a dairy issue, they're great to add. And then you can add a little bit of stevia. Some people don't need anything in it. But stevia is an herbal sweetener. I like it in the liquid form. It does come in a powder. You just Google stevia, S-T-E-V-I-A. It comes in plain. It comes in flavored, like hazelnut. Or I even like to put it in seltzer water. Like there's ones that are cola flavored or lemon or vanilla that you can actually put in seltzer water, make a little natural soda for yourself. But it's a natural sweetener that could be used in coffees and teas that just gives that sweetener, but it doesn't cause all the liver damaging effect of the pink and the blue and the yellow packets that normally are out there. So that can be added to the standy tea. Do you like stevia? Have you ever had stevia?
I have, and I didn't know it was a natural derivative, so to speak, and I guess the other ones have carcinogens. So if it's from a natural plant, it tastes wonderful. I mean, it can be a great substitute.
Yeah, you don't want to use too much because it could get a little bitter. And if you stick your finger in and just taste it, it'll taste bitter. You have to dilute it. But it's very, very natural. I always tell people, though, any sweetener, including stevia, if you abuse it, like have it like 10 times a day in different teas and coffees, the brain thinks sugar's coming, so there's a little bit of an insulin response. So you never want to abuse anything too sweet all the time. But having it a couple times a day in your coffee or your teas or your little sodas, it's a great alternative to some of those others that aren't as good. Dandy Blend, I think listeners are going to love that. Now, here's another one. Okay. It's called Ticino. Okay, it's T-E-C-C-I-N-N-O, T-E-C-C-I-N-N-O, and probably if you Google coffee substitutes that are herbal, these will come up on, you know, Google, but this one has no caffeine either. It's a Mediterranean herbal coffee. Now, this one does need to be brewed, whereas the Dandy Blend, I like, you can just mix it. This one does need to be brewed, but it smells wonderful. It's 75% organic. No preprocessing, no chemicals. It has a full body taste. It's only 20 calories per tablespoon. It's like organic carob, organic barley, dates, almonds, vanilla extract, figs, and some of them have like a nut flavor or vanilla flavor added to them. It's great. It does contain almonds, but it's gluten-free. And here's the interesting thing. It's not acidic like coffee, but it just restores the alkaline balance of the body, because the other thing about coffee, it makes the body acidic. And when the body is acidic, that's the stage for inflammation or for cancers and things like that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And the other thing is it has inulin in it. And you don't have to remember what inulin is. We just tell you what it does. It builds up your good bacteria in your intestinal system.
Oh, wow.
Prevents colon cancer. It kind of helps you go to the bathroom better. Whereas, I'm going to be honest, caffeine is not good for the whole digestive system because it kills good bacteria. So people will get constipated more and things like that, whereas a drink like this, not only does it kill good bacteria, it actually builds it up. So
that's,
it's wonderful.
Wow, that's
it's
great.
It's quite healthy. You can brew it. So that's the thing. So let me say them again. Dandy, D-A-N-D-Y, Blend, which is a water-soluble herbal beverage, very robust. And then Ticino, T-E-C-C-I-N-N-O, which is an herbal, but you brew it. And it's a Mediterranean-based coffee substitute, and it's wonderful. And both of them you could just Google, find online. And then we mentioned the Yerba Mate, Y-E-R-B-A-M-A-T-T-E, Yerba Mate tea. And then, of course, we talked about the other teas that are, you know, the white and the red tea, which are good for you as well.
Oh, my goodness. We learned so much today. We thank you so much, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Center franchise and author of The Hormone Shift. And, Dawn, can you tell us again how to get in touch with you?
Yes, I love answering any type of hormone questions. So if you just go to the website, Be Balanced Centers, with an S, all one word, you can email me any questions through there. They come direct to me. There's some great informative videos. And there's also a one-minute survey you can take to see how imbalanced you are. Because if you are imbalanced with your mood, weight, and sleep, that's what we specialize in, and we get really quick results. So we love helping women all over.
And you've helped so many. You've told us some success stories, and it's just... It's wonderful to have a resource for women at the BeBalanceCenters.com. So thank you so much, Dawn.
Thank you, Renee.
It's always a pleasure. And I am Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. And we thank you from the Balanced Life segment here today, because a healthy life helps us lead a balanced life. I'm Renee Gable, the hostess from In Touch Marketing Concepts, and I'm so glad to have Dawn Cotillo back from Be Balanced Hormone Centers. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to be back.
Me too. If most of our listeners know that you're on the fourth Saturday of every month on The Balanced Life, and so glad to have you, because we've had such great conversations regarding hormones and sugar levels, and today we have a great topic of hormones and sleep. And I just know of so many women in particular having trouble getting to sleep or falling asleep and then waking up. It seems like it's an epidemic.
Yes. It's kind of like when I was doing a little, even more research, it's up to 30% of people in general, but I think more is women, that say they have some form of insomnia. And I like people to try to, when I have a client come in, I'll ask them, tell me what's going on. Can you not fall asleep when you lay your head down? That's one type of insomnia. And then, or can you fall asleep, like relatively easy, but then you wake up 2 or 3 hours later, and then usually when you wake up, you're up for a couple hours. So it is good for people to determine that. And as we discuss things today, we'll talk about ways to fall asleep, and then some of the tips at the end, I'm going to explain why it's important to stay asleep, obviously, and some things you can do that'll help you stay asleep, so we can hit both of them.
Oh, good. So, okay. So do women have more issues with their sleep versus the men, and why? Why is that?
Well, that's a we don't want to man bash here.
Loaded question.
Like, okay. Sometimes for women, and we've talked about this on other shows, we're more multitasking. It's not that we're working harder than men. We're not saying that. But women will have a lot of things on their mind. Like, I got to take care of the kids and the pets and then the house, and then I have my job, and then I'm taking care of my, my mother who's older. Or, like, they're more multitasking. Whereas men, a lot of times, are more direct. I got to go to work today, and they can have a lot to do at work. But they compartmentalize that, and sometimes when they come home, they'll just be able to come home, and I'm done for the day. Maybe they'll mow the lawn that night. But they'll sit down and drink a soda and watch TV or something like that. So women, I feel like, constantly have this ongoing forever to-do list in their head. So when they lay down to sleep, because they never get everything done they want to, that's on their brain. So that's what makes them a little bit more stressed than men and feeling like they're not finished, and therefore it doesn't make it easy for them just to drift off into sleep. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And does hormones have anything to do with it, or going through menopause?
Well, yeah, specifically, actually, even getting closer to perimenopause, which is when your cycle's on and off. So let's just say 35 to 40 and above, this can get worse. Here's a couple reasons why. Your kids are teenagers now. That's making the kids even more stressed. So I thought kids in diapers was hard, but a lot of women tell me that the kids, when they're teenagers, are worse because you're driving them. So you got teenagers now. Your parents are getting elderly, so sometimes you're taking care of them. Sometimes you have multiple properties, or you have a boat, or you just have a lot going on, or maybe you have a bigger house now. So there's just a lot more going that way. But then the hormones are shifting. So we talked about this precious hormone called progesterone that God gave us. And progesterone is like, should be your best friend. It helps with your weight. We talked about that. It's a fat burner. It's a diuretic. It helps with your mood. And we talked about that, stabilizes your mood. But it also helps relax you and helps you fall asleep. So when you think about it that way, we don't want that hormone to be low. Well, getting around perimenopause or menopause, that hormone gets lower and lower. And stress will drain it. That's the best word I can say, will drain it or use it up, to keep it simple, faster. So just like I said, these women around this age can have more stress, more things on their mind. Some of them have a family, plus they work, so it drains their progesterone. And that causes them not to be able to, let's say, turn their brains off at night. Does that make sense?
It's so true. I mean, between, like you said, the house, the career, the kids, and we're so multitasking in this world today that it just seems overwhelming and an epidemic.
Yeah, and night is your time to get refreshed. It's the only, sometimes women don't even do much for themselves during the day, which isn't good, but they're busy. And so night is the only time their brain gets supposedly shut off and their body gets rejuvenation. And that's the way God meant it. And if they're not sleeping, it's like they're not even getting that, and they're tossing and turning. So it's very, very interesting. And the funny thing, this is a little tidbit that I thought I'll throw in while we were talking about men and women. Men, now this is statistically, men sleep better with a spouse. Okay, so if their wife's away, maybe for some reason, they don't sleep as well in the bed. Whereas with their spouse, they sleep better. Whereas women actually sleep better alone. if they had to compare. Now, I don't know, and I'm not saying what to do with that information. I'm just saying if the woman out there is hearing that, she thinks she's crazy. The other thing that, and I'm jumping ahead with the tips only because it fits in with this. A lot of times people will have pets. I have three cats, and I love them to death, but the love ends at 11 o'clock at night when I shut my door and they have to not come in my bedroom, because pets will disrupt your sleep. So you can actually be someone that sleeps fairly good, but if your cat's stepping on your head and your dog's laying on you. So pets are probably not good for the bedroom. Also, kids. A lot of times women have younger kids. They'll cry. They'll bring them into bed. And again, I'm not going to certainly tell women how to raise their kids, but the bedroom should just be for the man and wife and not having the animals and the kids, because that will also You'll think you have problems sleeping, but if you get rid of those extra things, you'll be surprised that you can settle down more. Does that make sense?
It does. And I have a girlfriend that has five dogs sleeping in their bed with their spouse. So we're not going to name any names, but if she's listening, take note. But it's so true. And some people have their kids sleep with them.
I know. And it's just not, I mean, you have to, especially now, think of it this way. You're giving all day to your children. You're giving to your pets. And believe me, pets are just so lovely too. But at night has to be that deep sleep, because think of it, you're going into a deep sleep so you can be refreshed to take care of them better tomorrow. If you don't sleep good, you're going to be a little short with your dog who's barking too much, or short with your kid who spills his milk. So you really think of it as some time away to be refreshed so you can take care of them, the animals and the children and your husband, better, so that you don't have to feel guilty of having it. I mean, it's the only time you're alone, you know what I mean, alone or with your spouse, that you can actually not have the kids there. So that's something to really, really consider. And sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes I had a woman say, well, if I don't let my cat in the bedroom, it'll claw at the door. I had a cat like that, and I started to have to put him in the garage. I mean, I had to figure out, he liked it in the garage. He was running all, it was warm and safe, and then in the winter I put him upstairs. But I didn't like doing that, but I had to come up with something, because he was just randomly in the middle of the night, scratch at my door and wake me up. And like I said, that's where the love ends, because I have to sleep.
It's so
true. So you might have to be creative, but that's something that, you know, might sound like a little thing, but there's a lot of people that deal with that.
And so, you know, sleep deprivation over a period of time, you're going to be permanently cranky. It's just
definitely. It could cause long term. We talked about mood the other week, the other month. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Long term sleep deprivation will actually cause problems with the neurochemicals. Obviously, it'll cause problems with the hormones. It'll increase cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and that cortisol will be raised all the time. It'll constantly drain the progesterone because it's up, and that good hormone that we just talked about you won't have, and you'll also become insulin resistant, which means you're slowly on your way to diabetes, or you're definitely gaining weight. So I don't know if you ever heard that lack of sleep makes you gain weight, but it definitely does. Physiologically and psychologically, because if you're hungry during the day, you want to just kind of munch on the potato chips or something to give you energy. Have you ever experienced that?
It's so true. And broken sleep, and you're eating at different times, and just the whole schedule's messed up.
It really, and that's why we put our kids a lot of times, or babies, or we don't want a good schedule, and we should try to be on a good schedule. So, you know, that's now, you know, so the best thing to do hormonally, and we're going to talk at the end about some tips, but just hormonally, is to try to lower the cortisol, increase the progesterone gently. I'm not a big fan of taking melatonin, and that's a sleep hormone, and people have heard about it.
Yeah.
It's in the body. Here's why I'm not a big fan. I mean, is it better to take than a drug? Sure. But if you keep taking melatonin, which will doze you off and help you sleep, the body will produce less of it. So I'd rather work with some of these other hormones, you know, lower your stress, to lower the hormones. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And then we talked about before, just a natural progesterone cream. My book, The Hormone Shift, you can just Google that. It talks about how to pick a good one. The Be Balanced website, we have some available there. But just a natural progesterone cream goes in and will help with mood, help with weight, and will help with sleep. So getting that hormone up, lowering your stress level, we're going to talk about that, but not necessarily jumping into the melatonin, because we don't want to. That's the one hormone that if you take it, especially if you're not necessarily low in it, you're just upset about something, that's why you can't sleep, your body will turn off its own reserves.
I know so many women taking melatonin. That's a very interesting thought.
I don't want to scare people. I'm not saying that it's the worst thing.
Natural, but you're right. There's other better options out there.
Yeah, let's see what else we can do. I mean, certainly if someone's on a sleep drug, maybe to switch over to that for a little while, and then slowly, you know, because I try to look at lifestyle changes. The only thing that I promote that women usually need long term is progesterone, because we're under so much stress in our country that we're constantly draining it. I could pull a 14-year-old girl off the street or a 6-year-old woman and test her progesterone, and it's always low. You know, and we can tell that by her symptoms. So that's the one that's like, ugh, if you live here, you need it. If you go live on a desert island, you probably don't need it. But that's usually not.
That's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But yeah, so that's the thing, you know, to think about is lowering the stress levels, increasing the progesterone. Don't necessarily think about melatonin. But that's more natural. And obviously, there's the medical community deals with things different. I mean, you probably have friends that are on like some sleep aid drugs.
Yes, I do. But what are your thoughts about that?
Well, here's what I will say, because I never want to make a woman feel bad if she's like, I really need this drug temporarily. I'm like, you know what, do what you need to do. But we all know that the you know, drugs are more of a, if it's a long-term problem, a chronic problem, you want to come up with another solution besides taking a drug the rest of your life. I mean, it's just not. So there are sleep drugs. And what I will say is, if something traumatic happened and you need to sleep, I mean, your spouse dies or something happens to a child and you're just not sleeping for days, do whatever you need to do to get yourself to sleep, because sleep will then rebalance your neurochemicals, make you feel better. It's just, there's a class of drugs, and I don't like to name specific drugs because I'm not against any one drug, but there's a class of drugs that I'll mention, the benzodiazepines. They actually, here's what they do. And there, and people, there's a couple of real popular ones that you guys, I know that if I name the names, you would know. What they do is they increase GABA in the brain. It's G-A-B-A, like all caps. And it relaxes you, and kind of like, oh, everything doesn't matter. I can go to sleep. I can stop thinking about myself. That's what they do. And people give you drugs for that, and you can take them when you're – they're actually anxiety drugs. So you can take them when you're anxious during the day, or you can take them before bed. So here's the thing. The problem is they work, and they're very simple, and we understand how they work, but they are very addictive. So if someone's on them, they have to wean off. But here's the funny thing. Progesterone, which is natural, increases GABA as well. So think about it. If the woman wasn't under so much stress that her progesterone got drained away or used up, she would have enough GABA. She wouldn't need these benzodiazepines to work. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Okay.
So, yeah, so I'm not against them, but some of them are very, very addictive. And if you do take a sleep drug, please read about it, the side effects before you take it. Because there's a one real popular one, which I won't mention, but it's like you could drive with this and not realize you're driving. You could get up and eat. You could dance. You could do – I mean, it's saying on its own website that crazy things can happen to you and you don't realize it. So, of course, if you're with a spouse, he would probably say, hey, hon, what are you doing? But if you're alone in a house, there's been, and I've had some clients tell me some stories, so just be careful and let's, you know, look at some more natural things we can do. But that's generally what the medical community does. They have drugs that help either for anxiety or just sleep drugs. But either way, they can make you real groggy in the morning and they can be addicting.
Definitely can make you groggy. And like you said, it can be dangerous operating equipment or cars or people eating in the middle of the night, sleepwalking. You just, yeah, that does have a lot of side effects for sure. But
so that's,
yeah, if
where
you can,
people just don't really, yeah, they just don't realize it. So I always say to them, please, if you're going to take a drug, you know, talk to your doctor about it. Obviously, he's probably prescribing it, but definitely read some of the side effects. And like I said, let's say it's a single woman, maybe she shouldn't take this real popular drug that can cause her to get up and get in her car and almost be sleepwalking. Like, like no one would stop her if she lived. If I lived alone, I could do that. My cats aren't going to stop me, right?
Yeah.
So I
no, because you have them in the garage.
So you know, like I say, think about that. Whereas it's a spouse, maybe the husband will say, okay, honey, I'll watch you at night. I'll make sure that, you know, you don't, whatever. But that's where doing the research and make sure, and if there's a short period of anxiety that something happens and someone needs an anti-anxiety med, I'm not against it. I'm just saying some of these other tips coming up are going to be a better way. And maybe as you slowly wean off the drug with your doctor's help, because the benzos you definitely have to wean off of, if you wean off of it, maybe you could add in some progesterone as therapy. You can add some of these other things in, and then you won't notice a big shift. You'll just be able to handle it slowly, if that makes sense.
It does. I guess I always thought God gave you enough estrogen, progesterone, but I never realized that the progesterone can be depleted.
That's amazing. That's the one that can. And as we talked about it, when your progesterone gets depleted, Dr. John Lee, who has passed away of old age at this point, but he's a medical doctor, so he wasn't even like he was holistic. He wrote 4 books on hormones. He was a big advocate of promoting progesterone therapy. He wrote, like, What Your Doctor Never Told You About Menopause or What Your Doctor Never Told You About Breast Cancer. It's John Lee, but he really promoted it. He came up with a term called estrogen dominance. And when I use it in my book, I put it in quotes because it's really his term. Estrogen dominance just means that you have way more estrogen in proportion to your progesterone. So estrogen's kind of an excitable hormone. I mean, we need it for our skin. We need it for our libido. We need it for ovulation. We need it for many things. So we don't want to not have it. But when it's dominant over progesterone, it will cause an overexcitability. So that's where it'll stimulate your pancreas. So you'll have more cravings. You'll put on weight. You'll have bad moods. You can have anxiety. You can't sleep. It could overstimulate breast tissue, causing breast cancer. So we don't want estrogen to be left alone out of balance. We want to bring the progesterone up, which tempers the blood sugar and balances it and calms your mood and helps you sleep and helps you lose weight. So we just want them to be balanced.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
That does. So a person could come to the Be Balanced Centers and you would be able to work with them, help them, and lead them into the natural type supplements and lotions and hormonal balance type.
Yeah, we just assess everything based on symptoms. Everything that we do, we use homeopathic drops or we use a natural cream that any excess is urinated out. So the way, and that's the best type of way to do things, because we're not doing drugs. We're not, you know, having drugs, or we're not giving estrogen. We're not giving testosterone. You never need testosterone once your estrogen and progesterone gets balanced. So sometimes for libido, people say, oh, take testosterone. You don't even need it. It could cause side effects. And when you balance your estrogen and progesterone, I've never seen a woman not have her libido back and all that, even if she's older. It doesn't matter. So we do everything naturally, and we also give some of these tips I'm going to give you here. We also teach relaxation therapy. We teach what time to go to bed, which we'll talk about in a minute. We just give them overall what they need. Plus, if people need to lose weight, we have a certain diet that we put them on that balances their blood sugar. And when you balance your blood sugar, it makes you really, really, really calm. So we balance the blood sugar and have them burn their own fat. And when you burn your own fat for fuel, your blood sugar stays steady. It's not a roller coaster. And there's a certain calmness that comes to that. So I'll give an example. Like, if you ever, like, woke up in the morning and you had time, maybe with your family or something like that, and you went out and you had this big omelet for breakfast, and maybe even some bacon. So you kind of had a lot of fat for breakfast. Maybe not as much starch or whatever. That breakfast will hold you, and you'll feel good all morning for several hours. You might even forget to eat lunch because your blood sugar is steady. You have fat going through your bloodstream, and you're not up and down. You're not craving. Another day, let's say you go to a famous place that sells pancakes, and you have pancakes for breakfast, pancakes with syrup, and I don't even know what else you would have with that, but you have that, maybe waffles or something like that, and about an hour later, you are like a little bit nervous, jittery, you're like craving something, you're hungry again, because your blood sugar fell. Do you see the difference when you have a bunch of sugar in you?
Oh my goodness.
So that's kind of what we do. We put you on a diet that balances your blood sugar, and it has rapid weight loss as well, but you're burning your own fat for fuel. That type of a state sets you up during the whole day to be calmer, and then when you come into the evening, you just wind down and you can sleep so much easier. So your diet does play a part of that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that with some of the tips, how your diet can play into you sleeping better.
Talk about being balanced. It's so true. From your diet to your hormones to your sleeping patterns, and thus the name Be Balanced Centers. So
right.
That's a perfect.
We like that name because we used to have a different name called the Rejuvenation Center. But then with us franchising, we thought this name makes so much sense, and it deals with hormones balance. And we really want you to have a balanced lifestyle. Like, that's what it's all about, from your spirituality to your physicality, to your emotions. I mean, all that. If it's all balanced and everything's in moderation, you're going to be able to sleep. You're going to be able to lose weight. You're going to, you know, and we do it in a way that it makes sense scientifically, and we like to promote it so that the women get fast results. And when they get fast results, they get motivated. Like, oh my gosh, I just lost weight, or oh my gosh, I'm sleeping better. And then they get excited to stick with it. And then, you know, it's hard. If you're not getting results, how much fun is it to stick with something? You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I just think it's wonderful. You work with men and women, but I see this focus of Be Balanced Centers on women. And I think women need that. I think they're told from doctors, it's all in their mind, it's their head, take two aspirin, call me in the morning. Like, I think it's wonderful that you focus on getting women balanced, and it's not made up and it's not in our mind. But
no, right. That's what I'm saying. We're validating them, and they really appreciate the stuff I'm saying. So let's get into now, if that's okay, let's touch on some of the things, some natural ways that we can promote sleep.
That'd be great.
Better sleep. We touched on the lower in the cortisol, and there's ways of doing that, which I'll touch on in a minute here, but also watching the progesterone and getting that up and balancing with estrogen. That's a huge foundation. That'll help.
Okay.
But also, people don't realize the more sleep that you get before 12 o'clock almost counts as double sleep. So you know how we're always like, get 8 hours of sleep. Well, here's the real sleep truth. From the National Institutes of Health, the real studies show, now this is going to sound crazy, but I'm just going to say it, in September through, let's say, April, that's considered winter. You know, summer is, you know, like a little bit of May, June, July, and August. So summer is short, and most of the time is considered winter from a hibernation standpoint. Let's say it that way. In the winter, which is most of the year, we're supposed to get 9.5 hours of sleep, okay?
Oh, okay.
Now, I know it's a lot, and I'm just saying that so that if people get sick, oh, I get sick, that's good, No, that's about a third less than you're supposed to get. So I'm not trying to say go for more than 7.5 or 8. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying when you realize it's supposed to be 9, the standard in the winter is that high, 6 is just not going to cut it. And if you're having problems with your health, you're going to want to start increasing your sleep.
Okay.
So that's that. Now, in the summer, which is the shorter, you know, like May, June, July, August, it's down to 7.5.
Okay.
So that gives you, it's a little...
Oh,
a little
good. Light. We have more time to play.
Yeah, because it's light longer. So think about it. So a lot of people get seasonal affective disorder, SAD. They'll get that more in the winter time. And it's because in the winter time, we were meant to be in darkness. Back in the olden days, right? They'd knit by the fire, and then the fire goes out, and you just... What else are you going to do? It's pitch black. You just go to sleep and you wake up at the crack of dawn. What do? We have our Kindles. We have our TV. We have our little phones with the lights on. We have we have a YouTube. We can watch TV and have light shining in our eyes up till 2 in the morning if we want to. And that's not healthy. That throws off your melatonin, throws off all our hormones. So the earlier we can cut it, now we're not going to go to bed as soon as it gets dark, obviously, because around, we switch the clocks and all that. But so if you can go to bed, I mean, here's what I think is reasonable. If people can go to bed at 10, that would be, so then you at least get 2 hours before 12. If you can go to bed at 9, I'd love it. But I know that's kind of hard. But the more sleep you get, so that if you aim for even 7 or 8 hours, if more of them are before 12, it's deeper and better sleep. Because as soon as the light comes up in the morning and shines through your window onto your skin, your hormones think it's time to wake up, and your cortisol goes up, and you're not into as deep of a sleep.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
That's
so
interesting.
So if you said to me, now here's what I used to do. I used to be like, oh, well, I need 8 hours sleep, so I would aim for 8, and I'd be like, I'll just go to bed at 1 and sleep to 9, or my favorite thing would be go to bed at 2 and sleep till 10. Well, that 2 to 10 is not going to make me feel as refreshed as 10 to 6. Does that make sense? So
sure.
The earlier, the better. So let's keep that in mind. I'm not saying that's going to be perfect, but it's something to know. It's something that's important.
Maybe we'll just put darker blinds on the windows.
Well, that's the other thing. I was just going to say, one thing you can do for your bedroom, and I think they even said this on the Dr. Oz show, is try to make your room as dark as possible. And people that have shift work, that really messes you up, but make it dark, 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 because it's about the light.
Okay.
They did a study at University of Chicago, and they put people in a pitch black room, and they even covered their eyes, okay? So it's pitch black, and they couldn't see anything. But they put a tiny little flashlight shining on the back of their knee just all night, okay, that little bit of light. And the next morning, it threw off their melatonin levels. It threw them off. So it's showing
goodness.
You a little teeny bit of light. So
true.
Make your room as dark as possible. Maybe don't have the alarm light, right? When you turn over, that kind of shines in your eyes. Maybe cover that or have a different type. Try not to have a big night light. You want a little light because you don't want to kill yourself when you wake up to go to the bathroom.
Oh, true.
Want to figure that out. But as dark as you can make it, that sunlight doesn't shine in, so that even if you sleep until 8 in the morning at 6 when the sun comes out, your skin's still bathed in darkness.
Okay. Very good tips. Okay.
So that's at least a good thing. The other thing is think of a cave and try to make your house a little bit cooler. So in the winter, that will save you on energy. Get under the covers. It's better to have good covers. You want to sleep with not a lot of clothing on or loose clothing, because clothing can turn and be confining. But you want to make sure you have plenty of blankets on your bed so that you're warm in the winter, but your head is out and the head's staying cooler. So if the temperature in the room is in the 60s, your head's cooler, but your body is warm under the blankets, not necessarily with 10 layers of clothes on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. And what are some of the final tips that you have, Dawn?
Well,
us?
The couple other things would just be do not have caffeine, because it can stay in your system for 7 hours. So if you have it in the morning and then not anymore during the day, don't have alcohol, because that'll make you fall asleep quick and then wake up in the middle of the night. And then have a protein shake before bed. That is a powder protein, digest easy. Maybe put some coconut oil in it, because that burns slow, or flaxseed oil. And that will put you into a deep sleep, and your blood sugar won't drop in the middle of the night. You won't wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's a really good tip. Okay, that's a great tip. And for others... For other tips, Dawn, how can our audience get in touch with you?
Well, basically, I'll give our number, but let me give the website first. The website, as a matter of fact, the website will have the number. If they look up Be Balanced Centers, and that's just with an S, C-E-N-T-E-R, Be Balanced Centers, all one word, there's a quick hormone test. They can see a little survey to see if they have an imbalance, and then there's some great videos on there, and then our Contact Us page has our number. It's 717-569-3040, 717-569-3040. That's on there as well. Email us any questions. We'll help you out. But, yeah, so hopefully some of these tips can be raising the progesterone and doing some of these other things will make a big difference.
Thank you so much for coming on again today, Dawn. We're so proud to have you with us. Dawn is from the franchise of Be Balance Centers, and she's also the author of The Hormone Shift. Thank you for joining us today because our health
You're
matters.
Welcome.
Thank you. And being balanced matters. And I am Renee with In Touch Marketing Concepts.